That's a piece for strings I hadn't heard in such a long time until it was programmed by the music director of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, Anne Harrigan. It's on tonight's Russian Romance program starting at 7:30, and I have Anne Harrigan on the line. Anne, I just want to thank you for bringing that piece back into my life. I used to program it, and it's just been off my radar for a long time.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you, Kara. I think that for me personally, this has been one of the shining tiny bits of the pandemic, is it has brought us back to some of this fantastic chamber orchestra repertoire, and especially string repertoire. It's something of a shift that created for me, I think, in about, maybe September, when we realized, no, this isn't going away. And we kept reprogramming things, and I looked at myself and said, I was a conductor of a chamber orchestra for 20 years. I know this repertoire, and there's great music that's not being played. And one of the things that jumped out to me right away was Finzi, because I adore Finzi. I'm definitely a huge fan of the English string sound from, you know, Vaughan Williams and Finzi and all the people that followed. So I'm glad you enjoy this piece as much as I do. It was a joy performing it.
So Gerald Finzi was a British composer, and you included his piece on a Russian romance program. Was that just because you get to do that as music director, or is there an actual Russian connection somehow?
Well, remember the Russian romance title that was scheduled? That was pre-pandemic.
Right.
And so the piece, and so the biggest change with the pandemic, when we were able to do concerts, it depended on how things were doing with the number of cases, is that we have, up until now, not performed anything with more than 25 players. So it's it was supposed to be Prokofiev's Romeo and Juliet, which is a huge orchestra. And so when we pivoted to a different program, then we had room in the program, and you're right, I just thought, this is a great piece of music, and people will enjoy it, even though it has nothing to do with Russian, but it is a romance.
Mm. As you just said, the real topics, the major works on the program are the Russian works. You've got Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet Fantasy Overture, and you have Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, not the ballet Romeo and Juliet, but Peter and the Wolf. And I'm really glad to see that with this piece, you've still been able to include guest artists from the Grand Rapids Ballet.
We are very, very excited about that. So this is one of the benefits of very creative videography. Now, the Battle Creek Symphony, as we've been performing, we haven't done live stream. We have been doing rebroadcasts. And we've had a lot of advantages because of that. So we started on this project in January, and we finished in March. So it's been a long course of a production to make it available. It'll be available this Saturday, April 3rd at 7:30 p.m., by the way, and it's free. But this is, it says, I think, on our post, it's at the Peter Martin Wege Theater, but in fact, it was recorded there. It was going to be broadcast on our virtual concert hall, of course, like everything else, I think, in the state.
I think, thank you for that correction. I think I said it was available tonight. It's available tomorrow night at 7:30, which gives you one more day to watch Dickens' Christmas Carol for free on
yes.
the Battle Creek Symphony
That's right.
website.
That's right. One more day, which was really turned out well.
But, it did.
What
it did.
Changed me.
Beautiful performances.
Only, thank you. Thank you. At that point, we could only have five, or we chose to only have five musicians, I think, just for safety precautions. And because we've been doing so well, this will be our fourth production that we've done. And we've been so strict, as I know, Kara, you have been, with health and safety protocols, that we were able to put this together. But I had several people, when they're looking at this, because of course we're socially distanced, and they said, how are you going to fit the ballet and the orchestra on the stage? And the answer is, we're not. There's no way. But that's the beauty of this. And so basically, the Grand Rapids Ballet, they rehearsed in pots. They rehearsed in groups of four people. And we rehearsed separately, and we filmed separately. And then they filmed their part of it, and we filmed the narrative. We filmed everybody separately so they could be socially distanced. And then everything was put back together by the magic of Ned Ingalls. I will say this, Ned Ingalls, as much as he can drive me crazy, he is absolutely unbelievable when it comes to video editing. He probably had 20 tracks he was editing, putting together to take all of these things that we had to separate to keep people safe and put it together to be an absolutely fantastic production.
Peter and the Wolf is held together by narration, and it's so important to have someone who's a good storyteller fronting the ballet and fronting the music. Who is the narrator for this production of Peter and the Wolf?
So our narrator for Peter and the Wolf is Battle Creek's storyteller, Sean Washington. He is the founder of the Mosaic Story Hour, and he is brilliant. He brings it to life in such an evocative way, and I love the charm and the different personalities he gives to the different animals and the things that are going on. It's very subtle, and it's very engaging.
Well, I can share with our listeners right now and a teaser, if you will, the narration, the music together in a short sort of promotional video that you released just recently. I think we radio listeners will understand the story quite well. It's the familiar Peter and the Wolf going out into the woods. Shall we take a moment to listen to Sean Washington with members of the Battle Creek Symphony?
Yes, perfect.
Okay, and this is released tomorrow in full at 7:30 on the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra website.
I'm Sean Washington, and I'm here to tell you a story with our very special guests, the Grand Rapids Ballet. This story is with music. Each character is represented by a different instrument of the orchestra. The bird by the flute. The duck by the oboe. The cat by the clarinet. Grandfather by the bassoon. The wolf by the horns. Peter by all the strings of the orchestra. The hunters by the timpani.
And that is just the opening of Peter and the Wolf with Sean Washington narrating. It will be a concert released by the Battle Creek Symphony tomorrow, and Anne Harrigan is the music director and conductor. In the video, Anne, we can see the members of the orchestra as they play their parts, but we can also see characters in costume from Peter and the Wolf.
Yes, that's correct. And it's fun to see the back and forth, because sometimes when you watch a ballet, most of the time, the orchestra's in the pit, you don't get to see that. One of the things I love about this production, especially with this introduction, is you can almost see the dancers morphing into instruments. You kind of wonder, well, does that look like a cat or a duck, you know? But it's interesting to have that direct connection. Of course, so many of us remember Peter and the Wolf so strongly, but there's a lot of people, especially younger people, who aren't as familiar with Peter and the Wolf, and it's such a great way to introduce people to the instruments of the orchestra. I think those of us who grew up with it, you know, we just love it so much. Kara, I want to clarify one thing as far as the concert. The concert is free of charge. You do have to get a ticket. You have to get a free ticket. It's very easy. You just go to battlecreeksymphony.org, scroll down. It says get tickets. You literally put in your name and your email and say, get me a ticket, and you'll get a link. And so it's important so that people don't think they can go to the site. They can try at 7:30, but our staff might be a little bit busy. It's best if they get their ticket a little earlier.
Okay, and that's at battlecreeksymphony.org, and you can do that anytime before tomorrow night's concert.
Correct, yes. You can also check on our Facebook page. There's direct links right to the concert page where you can request your ticket.
Wonderful. The funny thing about Prokofiev's Peter and the Wolf, I think, can be, for new audiences, somebody gets eaten in the story. There's this little darkness there.
Yes, there is a little darkness. And I will say that we have, he's swallowed whole, the duck. So there's different versions. And it's interesting because with sensitivity to things going on these days, we have modified the original script. Our hunters have, I don't know what you call it, nets, I guess. So we have eliminated the guns from the script. We don't. Maybe in Prokofiev's time, it was okay.
Yeah, a lot of
kids.
Fairy tales in general can be rough.
Fairy tales can be dark, yes. So we have just made those couple of modifications. And so, yes, the duck is still quacking. I've seen some versions in which the duck comes back out, but mm-hmm. we didn't go that far. So the wolf is taken to the zoo by Peter, who is quite intrepid, as always. Just really fantastic dancing also. This is a program that's put together by the interns and apprentices of the Grand Rapids Ballet, and they have a spring break program that will also be showing this. And so this is their time to be showcased. And they're so talented. It's really exciting to see these young people dancing.
Because you had to record the music separately from the dance, that means you were able to kind of enjoy the dance when you saw everything put together.
Well, yes and no. I got to see it after the fact because,
right.
Again, because we were separate and we were limiting the number of people in the space, I didn't get to see the dancers.
Right, right. And but Peter Ingalls put it, or was it Ned?
Yes. Ned, yes, Ned Ingalls. Yeah, Peter Ingalls' son,
okay.
Peter and Al Ingalls' son, Ned. Actually, it's Ned, Hugh, and I'm going to forget the third. All three of the boys and Peter and Al now have created this company, Ingalls Pictures, who I have to give a shout out because it's beautiful, beautiful work. And they've been very good to us, too, putting up with a lot of work putting this together and a lot of patience. But I have gotten to see it after the fact several hundred times, as a matter of fact.
I'm sure.
you really get to hear, know your music and know what needs to happen when people are watching. But you're right, Kara, I don't usually get to watch anything. You know, if I'm doing something with ballet, I don't have time to watch the ballet. I can look at them, glance at them once in a while, but this time I really get to enjoy the beautiful choreography. And I have to say, I've seen, this is the third choreography I've seen of the Grand Rapids Ballet doing this work, and it is just gorgeous. It's by far the best I've seen.
Have you done live concert performances of Peter and the Wolf in the past?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Yes. Many.
Many.
It's a beautiful piece. It's a difficult piece, Carrie. You know this as a flutist.
Yeah.
It is a very difficult piece to play. The most recent one that we did was with the Marshall Children's Theater, and they actually had dancers for that at the Marshall High School in Michigan. That was a few years ago. And actually, we were hoping to do another one very soon with the Frank Center Children's Theater. They're a great organization to work with. I've probably done it 8 or 10 times. The most dramatic, though, when I was called to conduct a concert in with the Honolulu Symphony, and I went in and did it on no rehearsal. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Did you pull it off?
Yes. And the key was they had 45-minute concerts, and it had to be exactly that time period along with the other pieces. And I hit, the 45-minute mark, 44 and a half minutes, I think. And so, yes, it's a piece that every conductor should know, like the back of their hand. And it does require a fair amount of finesse getting the narrator in and out, because it starts and stops constantly. And so you need to be extremely clear. And it never has enough rehearsal time because it's a school concert. So, again, as a conductor, you have to be very clear with your tempos, and very clear with all the entrances, exits, and cues so that people can be ready to go, because it's Prokofiev. It's, he wrote virtuosically for everything he wrote.
That's right. That's right. That's why it's partly so enduring. Another reason is it introduces kids to all the sounds of the orchestra. So I can imagine how many questions they might have after a concert, how excited you get when you see individuals in the orchestra playing their instruments. And then, you get to see them in concert, all playing together as well, and along with a pretty exciting story with with a wolf.
It is. Well, it's funny. It's Peter and the Wolf is like the Nutcracker. It's a piece you perform a lot, and every single time, if you have that curious mindset, every single time you look for and discover new pieces, things about the work, and new ways to interpret it or really strengthen Prokofiev's vision with it, it can always be better and better. And that's one of the things I love about the Battle Creek Symphony. They never lose that sense of desire for excellence or that curiosity. You can just hear it in their playing. It's not, phoning it in. They always want to do the very best, and they are working so hard to make sure, when that lasso goes down, the violins are just killing themselves to be as clean as possible as that rope is coming down and the violins are sneaking down on the scale. And so it's great to take a piece like that that is familiar and have that incredible ethic of wanting to create a transformative musical experience for our audiences, and knowing that even though we've played it a lot, there are going to be many people who will hear it for the very first time, and we get to share it with them. So exciting.
You can reserve your free digital pass to this concert, which will be released tomorrow, at the website battlecreeksymphony.org. Again, you need to go online and register for a free pass to this concert. You'll get an email, and then you can watch it tomorrow night with everybody else. This is the Russian Romance concert, originally scheduled for late February, and rescheduled for tomorrow. Of course, due to pandemic issues and things like that, you had to do some quick rearranging late in the last year. And speaking of dark stories and fairy tales, Romeo and Juliet is actually a pretty dark story. It's a tragedy. And the other piece on the program that we have yet to talk about is this Tchaikovsky Romeo and Juliet fantasy overture, which has a really murky, dark beginning.
It does. It has a beautiful, lugubrious opening that reminds one of old, Russian male choruses. And it has this harbinger of everything that's going to be coming ahead of it. It's kind of like a once upon a time, but, it's not going to go well sort of feeling to it. It starts out with the low clarinets and bassoons in this long chorale that they kind of tell the story, and they set the stage for this. And it alternates between the strings, again, kind of setting the mood for what's going to happen for quite a while. before the story actually explodes upon the musical stage.
The piece continues. I'm actually leading us to an excerpt where we will hear another episode in Romeo and Juliet. Did you record this with a chamber orchestra, or how many players were involved?
Good question. So this is a very interesting situation that we all are finding ourselves in, because everything has to do with real estate and also where we are with the pandemic and supporting the directives of the health department in the state of Michigan. And we worked very closely with orchestras around the country, and especially with the Grand Rapids Symphony. They've been advising us. And so basically our concerts are driven by stage plots. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But it's true. And circles. And we are absolutely vigilant about social distancing. If you've tried to social distance, you know it's always harder than you think. And so we measure everything out, and our players are so good about it. And we have everybody social distance between 8 and 9 feet apart. We figure 6 feet is good, 9 feet is better. And we have been, knock on wood, we have one more production. We have had no outbreaks. I believe this approach has worked for us. And so basically we had to determine what was the size of the stage and what we could fit on the orchestra. So we certainly could not fit the full orchestra for Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet. There was an arrangement by Jim Stevenson that had been commissioned by the Grand Rapids Ballet that was very small, that could have fit, but with the Peter Martin Wege stage, when we did the numbers, we realized we could do more than that, and we wanted to. And so we commissioned yet another chamber orchestra arrangement by Lisa Bowman that was a hybrid, and it was about 25 players, I believe. So it all had to do with how many people we could fit in those circles. And then we have plexiglass in between all of the winds because, of course, the winds can't use masks. And so we actually were able to, we realized that the most cost-effective thing was to use drum sets. If everybody's seen those plastic drums, six-panel drum set plexiglass things that go around drums.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a place in Sturgis, Michigan that makes them very inexpensively. It was cheaper than just buying the plexiglass with nice hinges. And they're modular, so we could break them out into two sets of three. And so each wind player has their own little plexiglass room that they play in, which made them feel very comfortable, that they didn't feel like they were blowing onto somebody else. And so you can see this very clearly in the video. All the winds of brass, and the brass have bell covers. So anyways, it's a long way of saying that because of that, we actually created a custom arrangement in Battle Creek, and a different one I also conducted in Billings, Montana, depending on the size of the stage and what we could fit safely.
Yeah, I just keep hearing solution after solution after solution after solution. There's just finding a way to make it work no matter what. That's really an accomplishment. I hope that, in a year's time, we can look back on this season and realize just how much the Battle Creek Symphony not only survived, but kind of grew as an ensemble.
It's been really something. And we have one more concert, May 1st. So, we actually start filming for that next week. So I do think it has been a growing experience. I feel in some way the players have really come together. They have really, they're the ones who've been on the front line, really taking that risk, and it is scary. It's terrifying. And I'd like to think that they were right to place their trust in us. They could see how careful we were being. And it's proven that it works, knock on wood, at one more concert, right? But well, I do look forward to the day when I don't have to think about this at all.
So true, Anne. Well, let's finish and with the Romeo and Juliet excerpt. But first, remind our listeners that they can access this concert by reserving a ticket right now at battlecreeksymphony.org. And the tickets are free. You're welcome to donate at the website as well. Is that correct, Anne?
That's right. Yes.
Would you recommend anyone calling or email? Online is probably the best way. If you have an email account, you'll just put it in and you'll be sent your pass for tomorrow night's premiere.
I mean, email is online is easy. We do have people on staff be happy to help you out. And we'll have people on Saturday night too if you have difficulty. Sometimes, you know, just if you haven't done live stream before, it can be a little daunting. And that's area code 269-963-1911, or you can find all our information on battlecreeksymphony.org.
Well, there is a very famous love theme in Romeo and Juliet, of course, and I queued us up to about a minute or two before that theme starts, and a lot is going on at this point in the music. And maybe you can describe what's happening and where we go from there.
Yes, I have a pretty good idea of where you would have queued us up. And chances are you've queued us up right about when the strings are going insane and the cymbal crashes, which signal the clash between the Montagues and the Capulets are going on. The entire orchestra is battling each other. And Tchaikovsky wrote these back-and-forth battles and this frenzied tempo and rapid passage work in the different sections of the orchestra to show the tension and the fighting and the clashing of the cymbals is the clashing of the swords, of course. And then all of a sudden, it just fades away to the gorgeous love theme. If anybody's ever heard the 100 musical moments, they know what it is, featuring the beautiful instrument of the English horn, which is the passionate meeting of Romeo and Juliet. The flutes representing Juliet and the English horn and violas representing Romeo.
As always, it's wonderful to talk to you about music and concerts and how they're all put together and how Battle Creek continues to support a wonderful orchestra in your 122nd season. Thanks again, Anne.
Thank you so much, Kara.